good morning, everybody. Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all you lovely moms out there. Hopefully the kids have been making you feel special and loved today. I know mine did this morning. I had a bed full of cards and some presents and stuff, so it was pretty sweet. The hubby did good this year. I'm excited to use his present. But I have to admit, I was kind of hoping that I'd get to take the morning off today. I mean, I guess I did get off of kids duty, but somehow I got the harder job. I don't know how that happened. I don't know. Here I am. John asked me if I would share a little bit about myself today in a word that God had laid on my heart. So I guess here it is. As you know, I'm Pastor John's wife, a.k.a. Lily and JoJo's mom. I do have my own name, though. I'm Christine, so hopefully you all know that. I grew up in a little town called Mars. I feel like I'm up too far. I need to come back. So I grew up with my mom and my little brother and my little sister. Growing up, I was super shy, really quiet. I didn't have a lot of friends, but I loved school, and I was a total book nerd. I still kind of am. Don't talk to my husband about that. I love to sing, and I actually started singing on the church worship team when I was 11 years old. I love church. We were at church every Sunday. We were there anytime the doors were open. We were involved in everything, and I just loved it. So after high school, my love for God combined with my love for music led me to Valley Forge Christian College, where I studied music education, and I found myself a hunky Christian man. John and I met the second day of school, and we were practically inseparable from the beginning. I think he just couldn't get enough of me. He'll try to tell you that it was the other way around, but it's not true. Don't believe him. So we got married during Christmas break. He's gonna try to tell you. Don't believe him. We got married during Christmas break junior year, and it's pretty much been a whirlwind ever since. I had always known that I wanted to marry a wonderful Christian man and that I wanted to serve God and work in my church in some way, but I truly had no idea where God was going to lead us or the things that he was going to call us to do. And if you would have told me that we were going to start multiple churches like he was talking about and help other people start churches, I definitely wouldn't have believed you. If you would have told me that I'd be the worship leader and that I would play piano in front of people, I probably would have started crying. I would not have ever thought that I'd be a children's leader or that I would even speak in front of people just to give the morning announcements on Sunday. Like, I'm serious. When I say that I was shy and quiet, it's not an exaggeration. Like, you can ask my mom. I was super shy. I'm probably downplaying just how terrified I was to talk in front of people or even just, like, talk to people in groups. Like, if you weren't immediate family or close friends, I just was super quiet. If you would have told me that someday I'd be standing here today on Mother's Day preaching the Mother's Day sermon, I would have told you were nuts. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what I told my husband when he asked me a couple weeks ago. And yet, somehow, here I am. I didn't always know it, but God has had a pretty big plan for my life. His plans have always been a lot bigger than mine were, and he's put things inside of me that I didn't even know were there yet. Things that he wanted to come to fruition in my life and in his kingdom. Things that he wanted to see birthed through me. And he's done the same thing with everyone in this room. God has put something inside of you that he wants to see birthed through your life. Even you guys. This isn't just one of those Mother's Day messages that's just for the moms and honors you guys and teaches you how to be better moms, but I believe that what we're going to talk about today and the thing that God has laid on my heart is for all of us, for everyone. Even the guys in here can benefit from the story that we're going to read today, even though it's about a girl. So today, we're going to take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to read about a lady named Hannah. So Hannah was married to a man named Elkanah. And back in those days, it was customary for the men to have multiple wives. And Elkanah had two. He had Hannah and Peninnah. And every year, Elkanah would take his family to the tabernacle where they would offer their yearly sacrifices to the Lord. And as was customary, Elkanah would give portions of meat to his entire family. So to his wife Peninnah and to all of her sons and daughters, so that they could sacrifice it to the Lord. And Peninnah has many children. We don't know exactly how many it is, but the verse says that Elkanah gave meat to all of her children. So she's got a few. But in verse 5, it says, "But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb." And this verse is important. First, it tells us that Elkanah loved his wife, which was not necessarily a given in this time and in this culture, especially considering the fact that she hadn't given him any children. And secondly, the verse says that the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. It was the Lord who had kept Hannah from having a baby. He had closed her womb. She didn't just have some natural physical inability to have children. Mother Nature wasn't against her. It wasn't even the devil attacking her and keeping her from having a baby. It was actually God himself who had withheld a baby from Hannah. And we don't really see why. The Bible doesn't tell us why the Lord didn't allow Hannah to have a baby. It just simply states that he did. And how many times do we face hard things in our lives that we don't understand? Right? We don't know why God allows certain things to happen or why he doesn't make other things happen. But what we do know is that his ways are greater than ours. He sees the beginning from the end, and he understands the entire picture in a way that we could never fully comprehend or understand. And we can trust that his word is true and that he works all things out for our good and for his glory. But here Hannah is. She's one of Elkanah's two wives, and she has no babies of her own. So back then, as a woman, her really only significance would have been in providing children, and more specifically, sons, for her husband. And Peninnah, being the sweet, caring sister wife that she was, just starts mocking Hannah mercilessly. Here Peninnah is with her house full of children, and she just starts making fun of Hannah all the time because Hannah has not one. Poor Hannah probably looks at this woman and thinks, "Man, all my husband does is look at her and she gets pregnant. I can't even have one baby. Not one." And this just goes on year after year after year. And Hannah becomes discouraged. She becomes brokenhearted. She comes to a place in her life where she's just weeping and weeping, and she's so distraught that she can't even eat. And her husband comes to her, and in verse 8, he says, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Really, Elkanah? Why is she crying? Like, he's seriously not getting it right now, is he, guys? He's trying, though. I mean, you've been there. He really is trying. He truly does love Hannah, and he wants to make her feel better, but it's just not enough. Hannah wants one thing, and one thing only. She wants a baby. She wants a son, and it's the one thing that the Lord has not blessed her with. And in verse 10, it says that in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much, and prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him back to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." So she keeps on praying. She's in the tabernacle, and she's praying in her heart. So her lips are moving. She's talking to God, but there's no sound coming out of her mouth. And she's praying so fervently and apparently is so distraught and so emotional that Eli, the priest, comes in and sees her, and he actually thinks that she's drunk, and he rebukes her. He yells at her. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been so broken or in need that you're crying out to God like this? Have you been there? You're desperate for a touch of God. You're on your knees. You got snot all over the place. Girls, you got mascara running down your face. You're doing the ugly cry. And you don't even care who's watching. You don't care how ridiculous you look, right? That's the place that Hannah's in right now. She's desperate. She's longing for something that she doesn't have. And she comes to God, crying out to him with everything that she has inside of her. But she comes to him with hope. trusting that he can and that he will answer the deepest cry of her heart. And so she makes a promise that if God will just give her a son, she will give him back to God to serve him all the days of his life. And so Eli sees her anguish and her grief, and he sees the sincerity of her prayer. And so in verse 17, Eli answers and he says, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him." And I love this next verse, because Hannah responds and she says, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. I love how Hannah responds here. She walks away from the temple right now just as childless as she had been when she'd gone in. She has no baby. She's not pregnant. She doesn't even have a solid promise from the Lord that he's going to give her a child. The only thing she has is a simple prayer of blessing from Eli, who doesn't actually even know what she's praying for. And yet, Hannah leaves the tabernacle full of faith and hope and trust in the Lord her God, so much so that her entire countenance has changed. It says her face is no longer downcast, and she's finally able to eat something. So she chooses not to continue to walk in her sorrow and her grief and her desperation, but rather she turns her eyes to the Lord and allows him to be enough for her. She chooses to walk in joy and faith and peace and hope of what the Lord her God can and will do. And what happens next? Hannah and Elkanah go home, you know, and Hannah conceives, and she gives birth to a son, and they name him Samuel, which means heard of God, because Hannah had asked the Lord for him. And Hannah does not forget the promise that she had made to the Lord. She waits until Samuel is weaned, and when he's eating solid food and she's done nursing him, she takes her little baby boy with her to the house of the Lord, where she offers her yearly regular sacrifice to God, and she says to Eli the priest in verse 26, she says, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. So what can we learn from the story of Hannah? First, God is able. We serve a great, wonderful, amazing God who loves us and who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. So don't be afraid to imagine and ask God for incredible things. He is our loving Father, and he wants to give us great things. Second, press in to God. Like Hannah came to the Lord in prayer, get down on your hands and knees. Cry out to the Lord your God. Pour out your heart and your soul to him. And put your complete faith and hope and trust in him. And trust that he will move miraculously in your life. And then thirdly, be ready and willing to give back to God everything that he has given you. You see, Hannah could have received the precious little gift that the Lord had given to her. And she could have just savored all the love and the joy that he would have brought to her life. And she could have kept him selfishly all to herself. And none of us would have blamed her for doing that or thought any less of her for enjoying every possible second that she could with that precious baby that she had prayed so long for, right? Most of us probably would have encouraged her to do exactly that. But Hannah had promised that baby to the Lord. As we read at the beginning of the chapter, it was the Lord himself who had been withholding the baby from Hannah. And the Bible doesn't clearly state the reason why he did that. But what I think it does show us is that the Lord had allowed Hannah to come to a place of brokenness and despair, where she was so desperate for a baby that she would come desperately to God and even offer a promise that if he would just give her a son, she would give him back to him. And it was then, and only then, after she had surrendered him to the Lord, that the Lord showed her favor and granted her the son that she had desired. She was willing to finally receive the thing that she had waited so desperately for all these years, the thing that she had longed for more than life itself. She was willing to receive it and then turn around and give it right back to the Lord, who had given him to her in the first place. And Hannah didn't give Samuel up half-heartedly. Hannah didn't just promise to take him to church every week. She didn't simply promise to teach him about God or to encourage him to do something good with his life. Hannah understood that there was something greater. And she took her precious little baby and she surrendered him fully and completely to the Lord. Amen. She took him to the house of the Lord where she handed him over to Eli, the man of God, and then she walked away. She surrendered her boy to serve in the house of the Lord who had given him to her. And it was here that Samuel learned to hear from God and to become the prophet that Israel was desperately in need of at this time. So maybe there's something that you've been longing for and asking God for. Maybe there's something today that you are praying desperately to receive. Maybe like Hannah, you're praying for a baby of your own, or maybe it's not a baby, but it's a job or a house, or maybe it's a position or a title or a better financial situation. Maybe you're in need of a healing, a miracle in your body, or maybe it's a relationship. You're desperate that God would just restore a broken relationship or to bring the special someone that you've been waiting for so long. Regardless of what it is, I want you to consider this. What would you do with that thing if God gave it to you today? You see, God waited to give Hannah the thing that she was so desperate to have until he knew, and even more importantly, until she had decided exactly what she was going to do with that thing when she got it. Hannah had wanted a son, but God was looking for a prophet for Israel. He waited to give her that baby boy until she had fully surrendered him and promised to give him completely to the Lord and to the work of his kingdom. So if God answered your deepest prayer today, how would you respond? Would you receive his gift and cling to it for yourself, reaping every possible benefit out of it that you possibly could and that you maybe even deserve? Or would you be like Hannah? Would you humbly surrender that thing or that situation to him and use it to bring glory and honor to God? Before we close, I want to jump over to chapter 2. For a couple minutes. I know we're skipping over a bunch of stuff, but I want to read this part. In verse 18, it says, "But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, 'May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord.' Amen. Then they would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Amen. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord." So I had to read this part because these verses just encapsulate so much of what I love about God. Hannah surrendered Samuel to the Lord, and the Lord blessed her. First, he used Samuel to do a mighty work in Israel. He used Samuel to change the direction and the trajectory of the entire nation. It was Samuel who was the one to discover and anoint their greatest king, King David, who you're going to be learning about for the next couple of weeks. Hannah's boy became so important and so significant, not just in his time, but for generations to come. He's so important that there's 2 books of the Bible named after him. We got 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. And not only that, but we're still talking about them. We're talking about them today, right? Over 2,000 years later. Giving birth to children may have come really easily to Penina, but who knows her kids' names, right? Not one of her kids is mentioned in the Bible by name, let alone remembered today. When we surrender what is dear to us to the Lord, He is able to use it in a far more powerful and wonderful way than we ever could on our own. And these verses also show us that God is gracious, right? He's so, so good. We serve a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. God answered Hannah's prayer, and He gave her the baby boy that she had asked Him for, which in and of itself is pretty incredible, right? But at the beginning of the story, when Hannah had asked for a son, what did she ask for? A son, right? Just one. One son, that's all. She didn't ask for the Lord to open her womb so that she would be able to have a house full of children. She didn't ask that the Lord would show Penina what's up by giving her a whole bunch of kids. She didn't even ask the Lord to replace the little boy that she was giving up to Him. She asked for one son. That was it. And the Lord was gracious to her. He gave her the son that she had asked for. And then after she surrendered him to the Lord, He responded by giving her far more than she had ever asked for, and probably more than she'd ever thought was possible. Not only did He give her a son to replace Samuel, but what did He give her? Three sons, right? And two daughters. How awesome is that, right? How awesome is God? When we surrender our lives to Him, and return everything to Him that He has given us, I promise you, you will never be left with a void in your life. That's the awesome thing about surrendering to God. When you give something up to Him, He always, always gives you back so much more than you had ever thought was possible in return. And so my prayer for all of us today is that we would be like Hannah, that we would first and always remember that God is able. Second, that we would press into God, that we would come to Him desperately in prayer, and that we would learn to put our complete hope and trust in Him. And lastly, that we would take the things that we long for and desire, and the things that God has already given to us, and that we would give them to the Lord. That we would fully and completely surrender those things to Him, so that the things that we give birth to would be full of value, full of significance, not just to us, but to the Lord and to His kingdom, and for generations to come. So Sarah's going to come on back up, and we're going to worship. And we're going to open up these altars for the next few minutes. I know that a lot of you have plans after church today, probably with the family and stuff. I have plans too. But I want to provide an opportunity for us to come to the altar, to press into God. There's nothing particularly special about the altar here in and of itself. It's just a step. It's not a magical step. It's just a step. But there is something powerful about getting up out of your seat and coming up to press into the Lord, to meet with the One who is mighty, who is powerful. So I want to invite everyone. You might not feel comfortable doing it. It might be awkward. You don't have to. But you know what? I want to encourage you to. I want to encourage you to come up and to pray and to worship. Ladies, if you want someone to pray with you, I would love the opportunity to do so. And I'm sure John can come up and pray with some of the guys if you want somebody to pray with you. Let's just take a few minutes. Before we go, before we move on with our day, let's really worship God. Let's press into Him and surrender. Let's trust Him today.